Welcome. My name is Pastor Dwayne. I just want to welcome you to Encounter Life Church. I'm so glad that you could worship with us today. Listen, this week we are in our second week on our series called Under My Skin. And you all know what's been going on in our world with all of the tension. We've got the pandemic on one hand. We've got the racial tension on one hand. And I'm going to be honest, sometimes, man, with all of this going on, it can get under your skin. But I believe God has got an answer to it, and we're going to just kind of delve back into that, to that today. But before we do, I'm just so happy. Many of you know, if you've been watching this for a while, this is my first time being back in the sanctuary. Again, we don't have everybody in here, but if you're watching me, I'm just so glad to be back in the confines of this sanctuary. So we're excited to be here. If you're new, this is your first time joining us at Encounter Life. We don't take that lightly. And I'm so glad that you could and that you took the time out of your Sunday to be with us today. So if you could do us a favor, do me a favor, text the word new. That's N-E-W to 301-804-2520. Text new to 301-804-2520. Just say, we just want to say what's up and that we're glad that you chose to worship with us today. So with that being said, let's go to the word. I mean, let's open up in a time of prayer. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to come and share your word and to hear what you have to say. I thank you that you're a God of peace. And I thank you, Lord, that you're sovereign and you're control and no matter what goes on in our lives, Lord God, that you're not asleep and that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. I pray for somebody today who's watching me. Lord, I pray that they encounter your presence like never before, right in their living room, right in their kitchen, wherever they are, that they encounter your presence, discover their purpose for existing, why you made them, and they experience your power in their lives. Speak to us. Challenge us. God, today, not more information, but we ask for transformation. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we talked about, as we started our series, we talked about the power of one. The power of one. And all that's going on in our world, that we said the power of one was the key. We understood that we serve one God. And that one God, that he created us all out of one blood. And he made us all for one purpose, but we all have one problem that can only be fixed by one way. And that one way is Jesus Christ. And once we come that one way, he puts us all into one family that will one day worship around one throne and praise him with one voice. That's the key. That's the solution to all the problems in our world. That's the solution to the race problem. That's the solution to all of our problems, is Christ is the answer. And we talked about that last week, how that Jesus Christ in the gospel eliminates the racial tension. But one of the things that really I noticed in some of the conversations that I've had this week with different people and you see conversations on social media, you know, when you have a situation like we're in, when we're talking about, people call it racial reconciliation or just racial unity, whatever you want to call that we strive for, especially in the body of Christ, you know, it's hard for us to listen sometimes. I think one of the key problems is that a lot of times when we have tension, it's we're not listening. You know, this was never made more apparent to me than earlier this year in January. Many of you know my wife had a heart attack. And just to kind of give you a little background and just show you the power and the importance of listening in order to fix the problem. My wife went into hospital. One day she was complaining of pain in her back. As a matter of fact, she was having all kind of indigestion, and she was feeling like, you know, at first we thought it was some gas, indigestion, and she was having this pain in her back on the left side. And it got so bad that, you know, her blood sugar went way, way real high. I rushed her to the hospital, and they admitted her and put her in ICU with a diagnosis of what we call diabetic ketoacidosis, her blood sugar being totally out of control. Well, the whole time while she was in the hospital with her blood sugar being out of control, what happened is the doctors had honed in on the fact of her blood sugar. And when they looked at her, she was complaining of back pain, and they started doing some studies and they saw some abnormalities in her gallbladder. Long story short, eventually the doctors diagnosed her not only with the diabetic ketoacidosis, but this pain that she had over a four-day span, all that they were doing for her, her blood sugar was coming under control, but still the pain in her back never went away. I mean, she was having 9 out of 10 pain, using all kind of morphine for the pain. The pain in her back never went away. And finally, they came back with a diagnosis that her gallbladder was malfunctioning and that she needed to have her gallbladder removed. The doctor told us, listen, you need to have your gallbladder removal because your blood sugar is under control. You can go home and we'll bring you back at the end of the week and do your gallbladder surgery as an outpatient. So we went home that night. That was a Monday night. We went home, and over the night, my wife was in excruciating pain. Her pain never left, and it continued. The next morning, I went in the room. My wife was in tears and said, I got to go to the hospital. I can't get rid of this pain. I'm just tired of feeling bad. So praise be to God. We have a member of our church, Dr. Barbara Hutchinson, who's a cardiologist, and she's at a hospital in the area. And she said, listen, take her to the emergency room at our hospital. So we did. I took her to the emergency room and said, my wife, they said her gallbladder is bothering her, and now she's in such pain. We just got to do something about it. I don't think she can wait till Friday. So we sat in that emergency room, and the doctor eventually came back and said, Miss McKinney, we really don't think you have a gallbladder problem. We think you have a heart problem. And we looked at each other. We mean heart problem. You know, I'm 40-something years. I've never had heart problems. I don't even have high blood pressure. What do you mean a heart problem? And they told us that her cardiac enzymes were through the roof. And long story short, my wife, the entire time that she was being diagnosed with gallbladder issues, was having a heart attack. And one of her major arteries was blocked. And she was complaining the entire time that I'm having pain on the left side of my back, but they were treating her on the right side of her body for something that was on the right side of her body where she never had pain. And what I'm saying to you is this, the doctors at the other hospital that we took her to never really listened to her complaint. And because they didn't listen to her complaint, the doctor, when we went to the new hospital, they said if she had gone in for the gallbladder surgery, she may have died. I'm going to just tell you, when you don't listen, it can lead to some really bad things. And so she went to the doctor. We went in. We told the problems, and it had a misdiagnosis. Why? Because nobody was actually listening to the problem. And you know why? Why do I say that? You say, Pastor Dan, why do you say that? I say that is because when I look at the racial divide in our country and even in the church, I find a lot of us talking, but not a whole lot of people listening. And today, I just want to use one main verse. It's in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. It should pop up on the screen. If not, you can use your phone, your tablet, or even if you have your Bible. But Proverbs 18, verse 13. I want to read this scripture to you. Very short scripture. It says this: to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Today, our topic is simply shut up and listen. You say this sounds kind of harsh, but you know, to be honest, that's just what really needs to happen. We have a lot of people talking, even me. We get to talking, and sometimes we're not listening. My wife tells me all the time, are you really listening? And sometimes I'm so ready to give my opinion before I actually hear the problem. And in order for us to come to some solutions, we got to begin to shut up. Just be quiet and listen. We'll look at the scripture later in James chapter 1, verse 19. He tells us, listen, to be slow to speak, but what quick to listen. And if we're going to find solution, if we're going to have a solution to this disease that is under our skin, to this racial wound that we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, we got to both parties. Everybody's got to be willing to listen. And I'm going to give you six things, and really quick, I'm going to give you six things, and I'm out of your way. And it's six things because I'm going to use the word listen, L-I-S-T-E-N. L-I-S-T-E-N. The key to being a good listener and the kind of listener that God would have us to be. Listen, he gave us two ears, but one mouth. Well, if you gotta be a listener, and if we wanna have change, you gotta listen. And the letter L stands for love must be the foundation. Love must be the foundation. See, when you love somebody, you'll listen to them. Love must be the foundation. And if we bounce off of last week and we said we're all of one blood and in the body of Christ, we're part of one family. And what God has called us to do is love one another. He said they'll know we are his followers by how we love one another. Bible in Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at Romans 12 in several verses, but verses 9 and 10 says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. You see, when you love somebody, you honor the other person above yourself. One of the most famous scriptures that we all know, a lot of weddings have it, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we call it the love chapter. And it says love is patient and kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Listen, what we have to do, we got to be, in order to be a good listener, you got to have love as the foundation. And when I love my wife, when I love my brother in Christ, when I love my white brother, and my white brother loves me, what we will do is we will listen and we will think the best. Love does what's in the best interest of the object of what's of the love of love. So what you got to do is got to start with love as a foundation. And if we don't have love as our foundation, we're in trouble. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we're not listening. We got to check our heart. Is it really marked by love? 1 John chapter 4, he says, let us love one another, for why love is from God. And anyone who doesn't love is not from God. He who does not love is not of God. Because why? Because God is love. They'll know that we are Christians. They'll know that we're followers of Christ by how much we love one another. Love listens. That's number one. The first letter, L, if you love, and love is the foundation of listening. The next letter in listen is I. I means this. I got to identify with the other person's pain. I must identify with the other person's pain. Go back to Romans chapter 12, down to verse 15. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. When I look at what's going on in our world, and there's a group of people who's crying out that we're in pain, we're hurting, and what love does, and being a good listener says, listen, if you're crying out, there must be something wrong. So let me try to identify with your pain. When I look at our Savior, he looked upon the masses and he said he had compassion on them. He felt for them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And part of loving people and listening to them is identifying with their pain. And if you don't identify with somebody's pain, it's going to be hard to love on them. You know, I never forget years ago, my wife and I had this terrible argument. And y'all know I use my wife a lot and my children a lot because, great examples. We had this terrible argument, and I don't know if it was over much. I can't even remember what it was over. And that's another lesson in and of itself. But what happened is I was staunch in my position, and my wife was crying and she was upset. And the Lord just impressed upon me. I took a shower and he pressed upon me, Dwayne, shut up and listen. And as I listened to her complaint, before I did, I was upset because what she was saying was some things to me that I was getting defensive about. But when I heard where she was coming from, I said, man, I tried to put myself in her position. See, listening requires you to come off your high horse and identify with the person's pain. Even though you may not feel it, even though you may not recognize where it's coming from, it's obvious that they're hurting. So I need to enter in and find out what's going on. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Listen, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, trying to identify with our pain, that's what our Savior did. Our Savior, he came and we're supposed to be Christ followers so he could identify with us, so he could redeem us. He became like us. He put himself in our shoes. He had to walk a mile in our shoes to know what it was like. He was fully man and fully God. And God is calling us to do the same thing. Listening has love as the foundation. Listening is able to identify with the person who's in pain. When we hear the cry of our brothers and sisters out here right now, we got to enter in where they are. Try to find out what's going on. I just praise God for the brothers. I've had white brothers reach out to me and say, man, I want to identify. Can we sit down, have coffee? Can we talk? I want to hear what you're going through. And not just because I want to respond. I really want to identify. I want to feel what you're going through so I can see it from a different lens. You know, we all see life through the color of the lens where our context is from. And in order for me to see it a different way, I got to put myself in somebody else's shoes. Listen, love is the foundation. I must identify with the other person's pain. But the next letter in listen is S. You know what that means? You got to swallow your pride. See, in order for me to put myself in somebody else's shoes, I got to swallow my pride. I got to put where I feel on the shelf. Go down in verse 16 of Romans chapter 12. He says, live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. See, in order for me to identify with somebody else, I got to put my stuff on the shelf. Today, God is calling us. You'll never be a good listener unless you're willing to swallow your pride. You know, the Bible says that pride comes before the destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. It says, God says he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Jesus Christ, he swallowed his pride. You look in Philippians chapter 2, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. He swallowed his pride. Listen, Jesus said, I'm in very nature God, but he didn't seek equality with God as something to be grasped. But he became a servant. That's what God is calling you to do. If anyone wants to come after me, he said, you got to deny yourself. That's swallow your pride. Take up your cross and follow me. In order for you to be a good listener, or if I've got to listen to my white brothers and hear their point of view, my white brothers, you got to listen to us and what we, to me and my pain and where I'm coming from. You're going to have to put your pride on the shelf. Love must be the foundation. That's the L. The I is I got to identify with other people's pain. The S is I got to swallow my pride. But the T, I love this. The T is you got to try not to be defensive. Because what happens when I swallow my pride and I let you just talk and tell me where your pain is, sometimes my natural inclination is to put my hands up and try to defend my actions. And I see that was what's happening right now. Nobody's listening. Everybody's just trying jockeying for their own position and their point of view. But God said, no, no, no. Put your hands down. Don't try to defend yourself. What you need to do is listen. Identify with the pain. Swallow your pride. And you don't have to defend yourself, because if you're on the side of right, I will fight for you. You got to swallow your pride. It's right here in Romans 12, 18 and 19. He said, it's possible so far as it depends on you. Live peaceably with all people. Don't try to avenge yourself. Don't try to defend yourself, dear friends, but give place to God's wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Listen, he says, you don't have to try to defend yourself, because if you're on the side of right, I'm going to fight for you. But if you're on the side of wrong, the Bible also says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Because sometimes a friend has to tell me something that's harsh. Sometimes my loved one has to tell me things that may hurt me. But in order for me to get healing, I got to go through the hurt. So what you got to do, you got to swallow your pride. And you cannot be defensive. I love this scripture in James and Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18 verse 2 says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. You know, sometimes we listen only when I get in an argument with other people sometimes, or if I'm going back and forth, what I'm listening for, I'm not even really listening. I'm hearing, but I'm not listening. I'm really listening for an opening in the conversation so I can say what my opinion is. And what you got to do, because I'm already on the defensive, but it says that kind of person is a fool. He takes no pleasure in understanding the other side. All he wants to do, he delights in airing his own opinion. Proverbs 18 verse 2. He said, listen, don't try to defend yourself. Don't listen just so you can wait for the chance to say what you want to say, but genuinely find out, put yourself in the other person's shoes to find out, listen, where are they coming from? The reason why I want to do that, he says, because what you got to do is, as all possible, it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. I'm making every effort to keep the unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. And in order for me to do that, I got to listen. L, love's got to be the foundation. I got to identify with other people's pain. S, I got to swallow my own pride. My own views sometimes. And T, I got to try not to be defensive. Sometimes you're going to say things to me that may hurt me, but sometimes they hurt me because you're right. Y'all heard the phrase, if it's tight, it's right. Because sometimes you step on my shoes because you got me right. You know, when my wife tells me things sometimes that I don't want to hear, I know she's right about it. But when I don't want to change is when I get defensive. As we're talking about this racial divide, if you hear your brother say, listen, this is what I feel, this is what's going on, as you see, as the truth is being shared, how do you respond to truth? Do you try to stand up and fight back? Or do you say, ouch, that hurt, you're right, I need to change? Listen, God is calling us to be good listeners, to love one another, to identify with each other's pain, to swallow our pride, to try not to be defensive. And then the E, we try not to be defensive. What we got to do, E, I love this, is examine your own heart. Examine your own heart. Psalm chapter 139, verse 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. You know, sometimes your heart is so tricky. You know, we got to ask God, Lord, I want to examine my motives with this race thing. I said it last week as I ended. Ask God to show me, God, show me, do I have some racist tendencies? Do I have some bigotry in my heart? Do I have some areas in my heart that you're not pleased with that you need to fix? When the truth has been shined, when the light has been shined, when we're talking about this, when we come down to have these hard conversations as we talked about last week, we talked about the repair that needs to go in the wound of racism. And it's going to be a hard work as those hard conversations come up. Listen, are you willing to examine yourself and be honest with yourself and be honest with God? He says, search me. Ask God, Lord, show me. Show me what's in me, because do you know that you don't even know what's in your own heart? Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? My own heart deceives me sometimes. Sometimes I gotta examine myself as a black man. Do I have some self-hatred because of the prejudices that I've experienced? Do I have some feelings about myself that I gotta be honest with? Do I have some feelings about my white brothers that I gotta be honest with? I gotta be honest and ask God, God, show me myself. Search me and know my heart, Lord. And the end, the last letter and listen is this. Never lose sight of the master's agenda. Never lose sight of the master's agenda. You know, that's the key with all of this. See, in order to be a good listener, it's really not about my opinion. It's not about your opinion. It's not about what I feel is right or what you feel is right. It's all about he has the ultimate say. And I gotta make sure that I never compromise and I never lose sight of what his agenda is. And he said his agenda in John chapter 17. We talked about it last week. John 17:20. This is what Jesus said, our Savior, who is to be our example. He said, my prayer is not for them alone, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What is the master's agenda? He said, I want to make them one, but what is the purpose? So that the world will know that you sent me, God. See, this oneness, the importance of listening is because we want the world to know that Christ was sent to save them. And the way they'll know that is they see our oneness, as they see the love that we have for one another. As we look at that picture in Revelation chapter 7, at the end, when all of us are around that throne, black, white, all races, that's the master's agenda. His agenda, he said, is not my will that any perish, but all come to repentance. And one of the great tools in doing that is he sees the oneness in the body of Christ. My question is, are you a good listener? Or are you too busy talking? James chapter 1 verse 9, my dear brothers and sisters, you know what? Everyone, he says, everyone, take note of that. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. As I look at what's been going on in our world, we got a lot of people talking, a lot of talking going on, but not a lot of listening. And our first thing that we need to listen to his voice. We need to listen to what God is telling us to do. Where do we find that? It's very clear in his word. It's very clear in his word. He says in Acts 10 that he's no respecter of persons. He said he's concerned about the least of these. That's what his concern is. We know what his heart is. So first, we got to be listening. We have to be on his agenda. And his agenda, the reason why he's concerned, because he's not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. Are we listening to him? We got to listen to the fact that he's the one and the sovereign God. We got to listen to the fact and to understand that he made us all of one blood for one purpose. And we got one problem that can only be fixed by one way. That is Jesus Christ. Are we listening to his voice? His voice calling us to love others. And we ought to love like Christ loved. And how did Christ love? He laid down his life. And that's what it's going to require. It's going to require some sacrifice, some dying to self. You know, when I got to swallow my pride, I got to die to myself. That's what God's calling you to do. Whether we're black, white, it doesn't matter our background, doesn't matter our race. The same thing, the same call is for all of us, to die to ourselves, to love one another as the foundation, identify with those who are hurting, swallow our pride, try not to be defensive, take time to examine ourselves, and never lose sight of the master's agenda. When we do that, guess what? We'll be willing to sit down, truly listen, not just hear, but listen. Because I'm afraid if we don't listen, then guess what? We'll end up with a bad diagnosis. And it can lead to some really bad things. I just praise God that my wife, we got us to a doctor where they actually listened to her symptoms. And they paid attention and said, hold up, that's on the wrong side of the body. We're treating the wrong problem. If we had kept treating that old problem, we would have never got healing. Today, listen, if you don't listen, we'll start trying to, even today, we got to listen to one another, but we got to listen to God. Because if we don't listen, we'll be treating the wrong problem, y'all. And some of our solutions are even treating the wrong problem. The big problem is the sin problem. That's the core. We got to get to the core. And when we get to the core, then God will direct us to what next steps we ought to take. And when we do that, guess what? If his people who are called by his name will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, he'll forgive sins and heal the land. Today, my question is, if you have been guilty of talking but not listening, if you've been one of those people who are just quick to share your own opinion but not listen, Scripture said that's not wise and it's a shame. You may have to ask God to forgive me. Forgive me for talking too much and not being a good listener. God, first of all, forgive me for not even taking the time to listen to your voice first and not loving my brother enough to really identify with his pain. You know, I think about, as I close, I'm thinking about, we looking at the NFL and we see all the debate about kneeling for the flag and with Colin Kaepernick. And I find it interesting now that they're saying, listen, we're sorry that we didn't listen to you before. We recognize that your protest wasn't about the flag. It was about injustice. But when I get honed in on one thing, I recognize that I miss what the real issue is. Today, God is calling us to get honed in, not on one thing, but to hear, really be quick to hear so that we can really come about with real solutions. Can I pray with us really quick? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you that, Lord God, that you listen to us, that you're a God who understands us, that you're God who's given us the example that you came to identify with our hurts. Lord, we have a high priest, the word says, that can identify with our pains. That's what you've done for us. And you're calling us to be that same kind of people. And I pray today that, God, forgive me for when I haven't listened to my brothers, when I haven't listened to folks who are telling me, Lord God, what's going on in their life. Forgive me for when I've been so staunch in my opinion and my way of thinking that I haven't slowed myself down enough to listen. And I pray for anybody else, Lord God, black, white, whatever our background is, that, Lord, if we have been guilty of talking, truly talking before we've listened, if we've been guilty of not loving our brothers, if we've been guilty of not truly identifying with their pain and putting ourselves and walking a mile in their shoes, forgive us, God. Cause us to deny ourselves, to swallow our pride. Lord God, to swallow our pride, put ourselves on the shelf, Lord God, not be defensive. Truly examine our hearts and focus on your agenda so that we can bring about lasting change. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, before I close, if you're listening to me, one voice that I pray that you listen to is God's voice, and he's calling what he desires. I said today, his agenda is that he doesn't want anybody to perish, but all come to repentance. I said it last week that he created us all for one purpose, and that purpose is to be in relationship with him. And until I come into personal relationship with him, this deal of listening to people with different opinions, it's very hard to do because in my natural self, I don't want to do it. Sometimes it takes the power of somebody other than me to do it. And I want to invite that power into your life. God wants a real relationship with you. He loves you and he created you to be in personal relationship with him. But there's something that has blocked that from happening, and it's sin. Sin separates us. Just like we talk racism is a sin, it's separating races. Well, ultimately, we're all born sinners. We're all guilty, and that sin has separated us from God. But God made a way to fix that. I told you what he did. He walked a mile in our shoes. The God of the universe became man, and he came to this earth to walk just like we walk and go through everything that we go through so that he could qualify to be the sacrifice to pay for your sins. And he loves you. He wants a relationship with you. But what you got to understand that you got to admit to God, God, I'm not perfect. I'm separated from you because of my sin. You got to believe that Jesus Christ, that God sent Jesus Christ to be the solution for your sin. Why is that necessary, Pastor Dwayne? Because God established in his word that without blood being shed, there could be no forgiveness of sin. Had to be a perfect sacrifice made. So God said, I'm the only perfect one, so I'll become man and I walk on this earth. We call him Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He walked on this earth and he did not sin one time, and he allowed man to put him on the cross. And he died and he was buried and he rose again. The next thing he said, you can have a relationship with me if you believe that and then make the choice. It's not enough just to believe it in your mind, but you got to make an intellect. It's not enough just to intellectually believe it, but out of your will, you got to invite him and say, God, I believe that and I want to apply that solution to my life. Today, I invite you to come into my life, forgive me of my sins and make me who you want me to be. When you do that, guess what? You'll have the benefit of him listening to your voice on a daily basis. And you'll have a personal relationship with him. You can walk close with him. And if you want to do that today, I want to invite you to do it. It's simple. You can just simply tell, dear God, I admit I'm not perfect. I admit I've fallen short of your standard, which is perfection. I believe that you sent Jesus Christ to be the solution to my problem. I believe that he lived, that he died, and he was buried and rose again. Today, I invite you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If you did that, congratulations. Welcome to the family of God. It's an awesome thing to be in his family now. Listen, he says he puts you in his flock, and he says he hears your voice. He'll hear your cry. You can know that the God of the universe is listening to you, and he wants you to listen to him. And we want to give you some tools to help you walk in this new relationship with God. So if you could do this, I want you to text the word NEXT, N-E-X-T, to 301-804-2520, or you can send me an email. Email me at PastorDuane@EncounterChurch.net. I want to know about it. We want to get some tools in your hand to help you grow stronger in this relationship with God. Show you how you can listen closely to his voice and give you some assurances that he's listening to you on a daily basis. Again, thank you. Thank you for watching with us today. Let's be good listeners this week, because God's got solutions to the problems. I pray this week that you encounter God's presence, discover your purpose, and experience his power. God bless you.